news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wrestling for your entertainment, never the other way around. You can listen to us on rantemradio.com every Thursday at 7 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, 6 Central. Follow us on Twitter at The Rexplex. Like us on Facebook and join the group page. Do it. Do it. Join the group page for fun discussion. Like us. Like us. Follow us. Twitter. Search The Rexplex on Facebook. That's all you have to do. And yes, we are brought to you by RantEMRadio.com, which has a series of awesome shows, as I'll get to in a second. But first, I would like to introduce my co-host, as common for the evening, Lexi V. Lexi V, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Doing a show here. I put down about a half an hour of audio to realize that it didn't record. That's not
that
fun.
That sucks.
That was horrible.
Whatever, at least you got it done, yeah?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
It's, yeah.
Well, that matters. But, yeah, so, what's up, world? How's it going? Hope you're doing well.
So, what'd you say about Lil Wayne?
Oh, apparently, he's dating Christina Milian.
Who gives a shit? Nick Cannon hit it first.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What, did Nick Cannon just hit everybody first? Like, are you just, like, not, like, going to be a celebrity unless you have sex with Nick Cannon?
Well, what he did is he got all the young chicks and all the young singers and everything, and then was like, all right.
Nobody's like Kim Kardashian, because they did it first.
Oh, he banged Kim Kardashian, too?
Yep. Well,
am I the only one who didn't know?
Who, like...
Who hasn't banged Kim Kardashian?
Apparently, but you're not black, so that's a little bit of a problem.
I'm part black.
You're not part black.
Dude, have you seen my grandfather?
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's not black, though.
Okay, Taco Bell. Taco Bell is going to start serving margaritas?
Well, I heard one rumor that Taco Bell was going to start serving alcoholic beverages, like, through the drive-thru after midnight, but I haven't heard anything else as far as that truth goes. And then supposedly Taco Bell is also looking into a delivery service within certain markets. They're going to be testing that out, see how it goes. Because Taco Bell is pretty much the shit.
Yep. So, anything else? Besides, you cooked some, what'd you cook?
I did. I made boneless fried chicken and homemade mac and cheese and green beans.
I cannot wait to eat that after
the show.
I know,
you should. It's delicious.
I'm going to. I've already had a few bites. It's fantastic. You're an awesome cook. You're an awesome cook.
I know. You should be so lucky.
I am lucky.
You are?
I should be so lucky?
Yeah, you should be so lucky that you got a girl like this.
I am. I'm so thankful. And I am so lucky.
But, yeah. So what's next?
Well, first let's get into the wrestling news here. And let's start with some, the biggest news. Somebody who made a huge impact in WWE. Who had a lot of fans. Really changed the landscape of the division they were a part of. And they have decided to quit and leave WWE. Yes, I'm talking about CJ Parker, the the environmentally friendly, sign-waving, stupid, dread-headed guy with the same name that Pamela Anderson had in Baywatch, CJ Parker, has decided to... He was granted his release from WWE this week, effective immediately. Parker has been in WWE developmental since mid-2011, when it was still FCW. He has not won a match on NXT television since July of 2014. He's recently lost to Hideo Itami, Solomon Crowe, and Alex Riley recently. CJ is well-liked among the locker room and has been praised by a lot of the guys backstage, including Kevin Owens, who Kevin Owens had his debut match against CJ Parker. Apparently, the split was amicable, and he asked for his release late last week, and the WWE allowed him to work the WrestleMania Access events on Saturday and Sunday, and then to wrap things up. So CJ Parker will not be seen every week on NXT losing to somebody who is better than him anymore.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, all you know is that he was the dreadhead guy who... Drink malfunction!
Did you give up any drinks in the freezer? Why do you think it was in there?
I'm sorry, folks. We're having an on-air issue here. Screw you, Johnny Mundo!
I bet it sounds like you're giving a blowjob because you're slurring so much.
This is all John Morrison's fault.
How is it John Morrison's fault?
Because John Morrison's the one who told me to start drinking this stuff.
Yeah, but I just bought it because I was an alternative to soda, and then you told me that after I bought it. So really, it's not his fault. It's just mine.
Screw you, Johnny Mundo. But yeah.
They don't even know what you're drinking.
I'm drinking LaCroix.
I'm giving a blowjob to you. LaCroix.
I'm giving this LaCroix drink a blowjob, apparently. Yeah. It's good for your digestive system. That's how John Morrison...
It's a great way to get off soda.
That's how John Morrison has those abs.
Oh, is that why? Because he drinks LaCroix?
Yeah, he just drinks this all day. He don't work out.
Yeah. Want to lose weight? Want to get fit? Drink LaCroix, and that's it.
That picture-perfect six-pack he has is from drinking LaCroix all day.
Oh, that's it? It's LaCroix.
Yeah, whatever.
I just learned the pronunciation, and it sounds really weird to say it that way. But okay. I did look it up.
Really, I was being sarcastic when I said about the person who made an impact as I was and all that stuff. As I was saying, it's actually AJ Lee has officially quit the WWE. Of course, everyone knows now WWE diva AJ Lee retired from in-ring competition with the WWE recently. The wording in WWE's statement caught a lot of us off guard, as AJ has no major injury. She's still under 30 and looks to be in great shape. Most of us knew that AJ Lee would leave the WWE when her contract came up or got close to it, which was confirmed with the WWE retirement.
So she's leaving as soon as her contract's up, basically?
Yeah.
Hmm. I wonder if it does have to deal with her marriage.
Well, according to the Melts, Dave Meltzer, the reason for WWE's use and what they said was to help avoid problems with AJ wrestling outside of WWE, so it was used as protection so she didn't just pop up on some random show like Impact, which makes you
laugh. How does that help? I don't understand. Like, how does that help anything?
I don't know.
I mean, she's letting over contract. She doesn't have any obligations to anyone. She can actually do whatever she wants and appear wherever she wants, so that doesn't really make any sense.
Apparently, the true reasoning behind her wanting to leave so immediately had nothing to do with her wanting to wrestle anywhere else or anything like that. It's because she wants to spend time with her husband. There was the pregnant rumors, but until it's until it's verified, it's just a rumor.
Verified. Isn't there like a picture of Bailey like touching her?
Yeah, there's a picture of Bailey holding her belly, and it says. Guess who's expecting to win their match at WrestleMania?
But she's pointing at her stomach.
Yeah, she's kind of weird. And of course, I mean, if you're working for the company who's suing your husband and your best friend,
awkward.
Exactly. And I'm sure that has a whole bunch to do with it. Mm-hmm. Apparently, AJ Lee didn't want to give word on wanting to leave until after WrestleMania. That's probably why we didn't know. That's probably why we didn't get a send-off match or a farewell match. But there was a hug in the ring after their match with the Bella Twins between Paige and AJ. And I guess that was the closest to the farewell that we were going to get. So essentially what this article here is saying, she pretty much came back to do a WrestleMania match and then leave. But you do have to believe that her career was cut short because of the dealings with her husband.
Yeah, but she might have also just gotten sick of everything.
But she loves wrestling, though. She's been a hardcore fan since she was a kid. Her brother got her into it. One of the reasons she said she never gave up is because her brother died and this was a dedication to him.
I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, AJ is retiring.
Officially? Or is she like retiring?
She might be doing a Terry Funk or a Ric Flair where they retire and then they're still wrestling when they're 70.
That is so weird.
Terry Funk has retired about 35 times.
You think maybe she'll go into UFC?
Well, I've heard people speculate on whether or not she would go into the UFC. And KFA News had a funny article, and the headline read that AJ Lee plans to fight in UFC's nothing weight division.
Nothing weight?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't weigh anything?
Exactly, yeah.
Poor kid.
So that's it. Farewell, AJ, until you decide to come back.
We'll miss you.
We'll miss you, AJ. Thanks for all the contributions and all the great memories, all the dudes you hooked up with in storyline, all the dudes you hooked up with, not in storyline.
She hooked up with a bunch of dudes outside of storyline or something?
Well, she was with Jay Lethal, who trained her. Shout out to Jay Lethal. Oh, yeah. If you're an AJ Lee fan, you should give props to Jay Lethal because he's the one who got her in the business. It has recently just been announced. This says moments ago, but it wasn't moments ago. We got this maybe late last night. I'm not sure if Double A talked about it or not, but there's an official press release confirming the move of Thursday Night SmackDown to the USA Network in the first quarter of 2016. Now, I'm wondering if this is going to help boost ratings for SmackDown.
As opposed to being on...
Sci-Fi.
I don't understand why it is on Sci-Fi. It doesn't make even sense.
No, I mean, it
makes more sense for it to be on USA.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I say that's probably a good thing. In general.
Yeah. USA Network is expanding its commitment to the live-action entertainment company WWE, bringing SmackDown to the network in the first quarter of 2016. Now the exclusive cable home to WWE marquee properties. So, besides the network, Tough Enough is going to return on Tuesday nights beginning June 23rd at 8/7 Central. So that means Tough Enough, SmackDown, Raw, and Tough Enough will all be under the USA Network. Blah blah blah. USA President Network. Chris McCumber. We are proud. SmackDown is joining Raw. With more than 800 original episodes, SmackDown is the second longest running weekly episodic program in the U.S. Only behind Monday Night Raw.
Alright.
Over the past 15 years, SmackDown has been broadcasted from 170 different venues in 148 cities in 7 different countries, including United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom, Iraq, Japan, Italy, and Mexico. The more you know. Did you know WWE loves to brag about itself on its own fucking shows?
Of course it does. It does all the time.
Did you know? Also, did you know Scott Steiner threatened to kill Hulk Hogan?
What?
Scott Steiner threatened to kill Hulk Hogan. There was some sort of incident that had taken place between Hulk Hogan and Scott Steiner, which led to Steiner being banned from the 2015 WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. TMZ has picked up the story, and it's potentially a big one. Allegedly, Steiner arrived at the San Jose airport and confronted Hogan's wife, Jennifer, grabbed her, and threatened to kill Terry when he arrived. According to TMZ, Jennifer did not recognize the former WCW star, who can be seen right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, she filed a police report. The police obtained security footage, which confirmed that it was Scott Steiner, and they said this confrontation was felony terrorist threats. It may seem extreme, but it's the California Penal Code terminology for any criminal threat where the accused threatens to kill or physically harm someone, and a specific threat is serious and communicated verbally. The minimum state sentence, if convicted, is 85% of a 4-year incarceration. That's worded really stupidly.
All right.
Okay. TMZ has since spoken to Steiner to obtain his side of the story. Steiner said he never put his hands on Hogan's wife, but rather approached her to talk some serious smack about Hogan inducting Randy Savage into the WWE Hall of Fame. Okay, I can understand any wrestler being pissed off about Hogan inducting Savage, just because a lot of people know that Savage did not really make peace with Hogan. As many times as Hogan says it, it's not going to come true. But you should never put your hands on someone's wife. You should never put your hands on a female to begin with. And we know how Steiner is completely out of control. Steiner said, "I told her Hulk introducing Macho Man into the Hall of Fame is bullshit. He hated him. Everyone knew that. It's not my fault Hulk Hogan is afraid of me." So, yeah. That's about all we have on that story right now. What do you think of that?
It's weird.
Scott Steiner... Big Papa Pump confronting Jennifer.
Who's Jennifer?
Jennifer's Hogan's young wife who looks just...
He said that... that he touched her?
He said, well, Steiner grabbed her. Well, TMZ...
Like, inappropriately?
Yeah, they said... they said Steiner arrived at the San Jose airport... He confronted Jennifer, grabbed her, and threatened to kill Terry. Terry is Hogan.
So he grabbed her and threatened to kill him. That's just weird. So was he arrested? Because I mean, it happened at an airport. I assume they took it very seriously.
It doesn't say... No. I've been reading about this up until, like, a little...
He hasn't been arrested? I feel like no. That would have... So I don't... Did it happen then? It's like, I feel like that would have happened if he sat there and, like, killed someone or whatever.
Well, there's information about the airport security cameras, but it doesn't... It says they may be investigating Steiner. That's all. At most, they're investigating him.
Huh. I don't know. But he wasn't even detained or anything?
That's what I can't believe. He was just banned from the Hall of Fame? Is that... That was his punishment?
That's so weird.
Scott, you cannot come to the Hall of Fame.
So weird.
Let's get into the Ronda Rousey news and what the plans are, according to a few sources. We all saw Ronda Rousey, who was in the crowd, get into it with Stephanie.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were speculating, oh, it's going to lead to Ronda Rousey and The Rock taking on Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania next year. But apparently WWE is actually more interested in booking a Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon singles match for WrestleMania 32. But there also is the discussion of the tag match still in the, in, still as a possibility. There's no official deal in place for the Rousey-McMahon match to happen, but there is said to be an understanding between WWE and Rousey that the bout will take place at the big event next year. See, the biggest hurdle in making this should be obvious, and that's UFC.
Yeah.
WWE and UFC doing business together is an unlikely thing, but Ronda Rousey is a huge wrestling fan, and she's already done things with Stephanie. She worked with her, and also they did the had UFC's four horsewomen. Pardon me. That's Rousey's whole crew. They had helped Stephanie with her ALS Ice Bucket Challenge video, so they're cool. But the thing with this is, Ronda Rousey beats legitimate female beasts of fighters in like 18 to 12 seconds, her armbar, and that's what she's known for. So what would they do? Would this just be a quick match and then Stephanie just taps?
I don't know. Because, like, why would they put her against Stephanie? Because I feel like Stephanie would be like, eh! Like, she'd be such a little bitch about it.
Stephanie's tough and she can handle herself, but the thing
is... Not in real fighting.
The thing is, Stephanie's really fit and all that stuff, but Rousey is a freak of nature. Like, she's going to go down in history as, like Mike Tyson's going to go down in history where people would be like, oh, Mike Tyson, and like Michael Jordan, like, oh, like, because they achieved that like, such high level of success in their particular field. Rousey is on that level. It's like 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Less than 2 minutes. Like, all of her fights.
Damn.
So she's going to go down in history as an icon, and especially as a game changer for females, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
But so, as of right now, what it looks like the plans will be is a one-on-one match between Rousey and McMahon. The problem is setting that match up and, of course, getting Dana White to agree with it. Update on this week's WWE announced teams. We had Michael Cole selling the Brock Attack and JBL. So... this week's SmackDown will be hosted by Jerry Lawler, Byron Saxton, and Tom Phillips. And main event, which was taped 2 nights ago, will feature JBL and NXT's Rich Brennan. Okay. Have you heard about this, Alexis?
I don't know.
Japanese match turns into a shoot.
Only because you told me about it?
Yeah. We all joke around about how all of sports, only wrestling is real. But guys, when wrestling turns real, it's fucking terrifying. This past Saturday, Japanese female star Yoshiko was set to face Ak Yasukawa in the Joshi Promotion Stardom's main event. Yoshiko decided to go into business for herself, and the result is disgusting on every level. Pretty much she beat and bloodied, used her weight to hold her down. Apparently, Yasukawa was moving up in the promotion, and she was getting a push, and maybe that could have been why those bad intentions.
Maybe she was on drugs.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
No, maybe Yoshiko was on drugs.
No, probably not, because when she looks like, super serious.
She just looked very serious and very angry.
She looks and then very vicious.
And then she was smiling.
Like bloodthirsty.
Yeah. It was pretty damn scary. She was smiling.
Well, that's why I said maybe something happened behind the scenes, like with them personally or whatever. Like, maybe she was just being totally unprofessional and acting out against this girl for whatever she did or may not have done. I don't really know. I saw it, and it was... quite bloody.
Yeah, it was brutal. It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen take place in wrestling. And I've seen, especially when it just got so real.
Yeah, and like homegirl's still trying to get in there.
Yeah, she was trying to get in the ring. She had her people throw in the towel, and Yeah, if you want to go look for the video, it's out there. It's Akusakawa, but please, if you watch that video, proceed with caution. And with that, we are going to take our first commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of the Rexplex. Thank you. Stick around.
This is Saeed Abamusa, senior official of Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and you're on the Rexplex.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to the Rexplex. It's me again, Rex Watson, with some New Japan Pro Wrestling news. On April 5th, 2015, New Japan Pro Wrestling held its Invasion Attack. At this event, we saw an opening match with a five-person match. The time splitters of Alex Shelley and Kushida, Captain New Japan, Yohei Kamatsu, and Yuji Nagata defeating Jushin Thunder Liger, Nakanashi, Taguchi, and Shotanaka and Tiger Mask. This was your all-over-the-place, normal, multi-man New Japan opener that you would get. I like that there's the two young guys, because they're really, really good. They're really showing that they could be the future if they keep busting their asses like this. I also like the teamwork between Alex Shelley and Kushida. Also, Captain New Japan is just hilarious. The first thing he did when he was tagged in was run at the ropes and then fall down. And he did a good job of making it look legitimate. This was actually a fun match, entertaining. That's about it for this match. It was fun and entertaining. The team of the Time Splitters, Captain New Japan, Kamatsu, and Nagata picked up the win. Next, we had Hiroshi Tenzan, Kojima, and Hanma defeating Tama Tonga, Cody Hall, and Yujiro Takahashi of the Bullet Club. Now, this was pretty much your normal six-man New Japan-style match. There was a lot of interesting work. Kokishis, as they called them, from Hanma. It was an alright match. But what I was most impressed by was the improvement of Cody Hall, who was, of course, the son of Scott Hall, which makes me think that Scott Hall definitely knew something when he chose for Cody to go train at the New Japan Dojo as opposed to any other place, or to try to get him into NXT. And I can see why, because Cody is improving at a fast rate. Cody Hall actually took a 3D, and that was the headbutt for the pinfall. It was an alright match with a really cool ending. And the next match, probably my favorite match of the night, we saw Roppongi Vice, Beretta, formerly Trent Beretta, now just Beretta, teaming with Rocky Romero to take on the Young Bucks, who were the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions, the Young Bucks. This was a really good, fast-paced match. They had worked previously, and I've seen them before. I know they had worked at a previous show a few nights before. This match was a show stealer. It was awesome. There was a really cool spot out on the floor where the Young Bucks tried to escape. They basically said, screw this. They grabbed the tag belts, started walking away from the match. And it's actually kind of nervous for a second. And then Beretta and Romero ran after them on the floor. Both Romero and Beretta took sick super kicks to the face. It was all just a ruse by the Young Bucks to try to get a quick count-out victory. But what happened was Romero ended up grabbing Beretta and tossing his body into the ring after a 19 count to stop the cheap count-out win from the Young Bucks. We then saw a lot of back-and-forth, high-paced stuff going on. We almost saw the Young Bucks hit the more bang for your buck, but it was escaped, and we saw an Omori driver, which is the Dude Buster from Beretta, and a springboard dropkick combo from Rocky Romero to score the victory and the titles. New IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion, Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, Roppongi Vice, Beretta, and Rocky Romero. Roppongi Vice, Roppongi Knights. I really like this team. I was kind of skeptical about it when I first heard Rocky Romero talk about that this is the team he was taking to Japan. It was going to be him and Beretta, but they're like one of my favorite tag teams now. And I looked up what Roppongi is the nightlife, the party city in Japan. So they're pretty much the party. The Americans. Well, Rocky Romero is not America. Well, never mind. Let's get to the next championship match. It was for the IWGP Light Heavyweight Championship as champion Kenny Omega defeated in a mask over Dorada. This was a lot of cool interactions. Dorada is an incredible luchador. I really like the fast pace of the match. It was really good. There was one little slip up, but right after that, there was a Rana off the apron, which was sick. It was sick. Omega made a comeback, had the Dragon Suplex, and then he hit the One-Winged Angel to retain the title. After this match, Kenny Omega proceeded to get on the microphone and say he was cleaning out the Japanese and Mexican garbage from this promotion, which led to Alex Shelley coming down to the ring. And as he was attending to Dorada, we got a stare down between Alex Shelley and Kenny Omega. So this looks like we are definitely setting up an Alex Shelley, Kenny Omega match for that championship. And the next match, we had the IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Bullet Club, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson, defending against the Kingdom of Michael Bennett and Matt Taven. Now, also got to mention that Maria Kanellis was there, and they had a pretty good, solid match. The crowd wasn't really too much into it, but the crowd was, and the commentators and cameramen were very, very much into Maria. This was a pretty solid match, kind of what you could expect. It was a solid match, I'll put it that way. But Bennett and Taven hit a spike pile driver to get the victory. So we have new IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Kingdom of Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. Wow, so two big title changes already on this card. And our next contest, we had Goto, Naito, and Makabe defeating Shinsuke Nakamura, Tomohiro Ishii, and Yoshihashi. This was some great action. The crowd got back into it. There was a lot of cool stuff. How did this match end? It was with Goto and Nakamura. Nakamura missed the Bumbaye knee, which allowed Goto to score the Shotenkai for the win, which is the fireman's carry into the flatliner, essentially. So this sets up to a Goto and Nakamura feud for the IC title, and also Makabe versus Ishii. This was a pretty damn good match. It was maybe my second or third favorite on this card. Up next, we had a match. Sakuraba and Toru Yano defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi and Katsuyori Shibata. I did not expect this match to end this way at all. It was entertaining, and it was a lot about Sakuraba and Shibata's feud. And we saw Sakuraba make Shibata tap to get the victory. This match was all right. That's about it. We saw Kazuchika Okada defeating Bad Luck Fale in a semi-decent match. During the match, Okada went for a tombstone, and there was no way he could get him up. Fale fell on top of Okada. Fale hit a huge splash from the top. Bad Luck Fale set up for the Bad Luck Fall. Okada slipped out and finally was able to get the gigantic Bad Luck Fale off the tombstone. That was a move that I jumped out of my seat for when he finally hit that, then pulled him up and hit the Rainmaker clothesline to get the win. The winner of this match, Kazuchika Okada. And in your main event, we had the champion, AJ Styles, taking on Kota Ibushi. This is the first time in a long time that New Japan has actually sold out Sumo Hall for a match that was not part of the G1 Climax tournament. which is coming up very soon, and it is going to be 18 days long from what I'm hearing, which sounds exhausting for a tournament. Mid-match, we had Ibushi have Styles down, go for the Phoenix Splash, but Kenny Omega got on the apron. He ran out to distract the referee as this had happened. The Phoenix Splash is actually how Ibushi won the New Japan Cup to get this championship match. After this distraction, Ibushi came down with a splash, but got caught by Styles, who reversed it into the Styles Clash. After this match, Okada ran out and started to lay out the members of the Bullet Club who were in the ring, and he hit the Rainmaker on Styles. So it's clear as day, as clear as can be after this, that we will see AJ Styles taking on Okada. And I can easily see Okada being the one who looks to regain his title, looks to regain the title in this against Styles, but who knows? Anything can happen in the world of wrestling. And that was your New Japan news for this episode. Let's get into some indie news. Let's start at the bottom of the barrel, I guess, with this one. During WrestleMania weekend, we had the King of Indies. Prior to the start of this match, all of the tournament participants came out, and we had a 10-bell salute for Perro Aguayo Jr. and Cincinnati Red. Rest in peace to both these men. It was horrible to hear about the passing of Cincinnati Red, and the whole Perro Aguayo situation was just a terrible thing to happen in wrestling. My condolences to their families and everything. Rest in peace to both men. They followed this up by announcing all of the tournament participants. In first round tournament matches, we saw my homie, a man who we always see tearing it up at Wildcat in New Orleans, Rey Horus, defeating Little Cholo, who many of you might know from Lucha Underground. Jeff Cobb, who I've never heard of in my life, defeated Rick Luxury, who's another person I've never heard of. Adam Thornstow defeated Sean Ricker. Vinny Massaro defeated Al Mariachi, who was also from Lucha Underground. They apparently had a horrible 20-man battle royal where I don't know who won or what happened or who was in it. Fucking machine himself, Brian Cage, defeated B-Boy. Did you hear me almost censor myself and then stop? Whatever. Willie Mack defeated Jody Christofferson. Willie Mack, another one of my favorites. Luster the Legend, never heard of him, don't know what makes him a legend, defeated Jekylls. Timothy Thatcher, one of my picks to win this, as well as Willie Mack, who was another pick of mine to win, defeated Dylan Drake. The night ended with a special attraction match where we saw Ricochet defeat Matt Cross and Joey Ryan with a Michinoku driver. Apparently, from the people who I talked to that were there, this was an uneventful night. And a lot of people regret going to this instead of other shows that were taking place in the area during WrestleMania weekend. And let's just get to the results of night two of this King of Indies tournament. Second round matches, we saw Jeff Cobb defeat Brian Cage, which I can't believe, even though I don't even know who Jeff Cobb is, but Brian Cage is a fucking machine. We all know, you know Cage, Lucha Underground, Brian Cage. Yes. Okay, Timothy Thatcher defeated Vinny Massaro. I was going to make a joke there. I'll just leave that one out. Adam Thornstow defeated Luster the Legend. And Willie Mack defeated Rey Horus in what was apparently the match of the night. And I am not surprised by that, considering I'm a huge fan of both these guys. I've seen Rey Horus compete twice, and he's awesome. He's been incredible every time. He's had the match of the night both times I've seen him. And Willie Mack is also an awesome wrestler. You know, he was almost picked up by WWE. This is also interesting. In a special attraction match, we saw Juventud Guerrera take on Ultimo Dragon, who was accompanied by Sonny Ono. I heard Sonny Ono was in town during WrestleMania weekend. I heard he was a blast to hang out with. And anyone who went to the event that Sonny Ono was at, where he was making a fool of himself, you guys are lucky because I've heard some stories from that thing. Well, in this match, it was actually a lot more entertaining than people thought. Ultimo Dragon defeated Juventud Guerrera with an Acai DDT. In the King of the Indies tournament semifinal matches, Adam Thornstow defeated one of my picks to win, Timothy Thatcher. and my other pick to win, Willie Mack, defeated Jeff Cobb. We had a special attraction match, a.k.a. a bullshit filler match, with Earl Cooter defeating Grappler number 3. A multi-team match for the APW Tag Team Championships also took place, with Bobby Hart and Sir Samurai taking on Famous B and Marcus Lewis, taking on Rock Mess Monsters Johnny Yuma and Johnny Goodtime, taking on the champions of Levi Shapiro and Freddie Royal, the Classic Connection. I don't know anything that went down in this match. I just know that the Classic Connection won. And after this, you got your King of the Indies Tournament Finals, where Adam Thornstow with Luster the Legend defeated Willie Mack with B-Boy. Okay. This sounded very uneventful to me. I love tournaments, as I'm about to talk about two different tournaments that I am a big fan of next. But this sounded very uneventful. If I was in town for WrestleMania weekend, this would not be a stop on the map for me. I just wanted to go over that for some reason. I guess because I don't feel like watching it, but I kind of wanted to talk about what happened. Well, there you have it. That was the King of the Indies. Your winner of the King of the Indies tournament, Adam Thornstow. I hope I'm saying his name right. Let's get into some CZW news. One of my favorite tournaments will be finally taking place. Are you kidding me? CZW presents Best of the Best 14 at the Flyer Skate Zone on Saturday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. 12 of the world's best will compete for the right to be called the Best of the Best and take home the prestigious trophy in one of the professional wrestling's top tournaments. Here is the lineup for the Best of the Best 14. Now we have four three-way elimination matches in the first round. We'll see Joey Janela versus Joe Gacy versus CJP, formerly known as CJ Parker. Tommy End, who is an awesome wrestler, taking on Aaron Williams, taking on Caleb Conley, who is an awesome dude. He's a good person. I met that dude at WrestleCon, cool as hell. Jonathan Gresham, who's another fantastic wrestler, versus Tracy Williams, who I'm very unfamiliar with. I don't never heard of Tracy Williams. Taking on Trevor Lee, who was a great talent. Speaking of great talents, three great talents in this next match, Andrew Everett versus Bucks Belmar versus Speedball Mike Bailey. This looks to be a pretty good bracket for this tournament. It's got a few holes in it. It does have a few people who are missing. You were getting the tag team championships. OI4K Jake and Dave Crist, the champions, will defend against Nation of Intoxication's Danny Havoc and Lucky 13. I definitely see OI4K walking away, still the champions after this one. In the Deathmatch Trial Series, we'll see a scaffold match with Nation of Intoxication's Devin Moore taking on Wrench Connor Claxton. And they've been putting this guy, the Wrench Connor Claxton, through the wire ever since he has come to CZW. To try to prove himself as a hardcore wrestler. I don't know why you would do that. Plus two second round singles matchups and the one-on-one Best of the Best 14 tournament final all take place. Voorhees, New Jersey, April 11th. Be there if you can. In some other news in independent wrestling, at Shakara's event in London, England, a few days ago, Hollow Wicked defeated Ikaris to win the Grand Championship of Shakara via submission when Ikaris passed out while he was trapped in the Shakara special. So many Shakara main events end with this move. It's a very silly submission move, but many matches end with this. I didn't expect Hollow Wicked to be the one to take the title off of Ikaris. I heard from people who were at this that the show was awesome. They brought their kids. The place was jam-packed. I hope to see this. I hope to see some of this footage, possibly, if it can get passed by the way. I'm sure I'll come across it. Whatever. But congratulations to Hollow Wicked. Ikaris had a pretty decent run with that belt, but we have a new grand champion of Shakara, Hollow Wicked, one of the originals of Shakara. He is the new grand champion. Now, some AR Fox news. A.R. Fox has stated on his Facebook page that he is done with WWN Live after he was branded for events and advertised, but he had been booked elsewhere when Evolve was running Florida. It was a Florida show where Gabe Sapolsky wanted A.R. Fox to appear. Basically, Fox had already been booked in other places during that time. So there was a disagreement between the two. Sapolsky said the following: "I'm very disappointed to read Fox's statement. He has been a very valuable member of our roster, and I've enjoyed working with him through the years. We've had some great times together on the road. I'm very disheartened to read this, but I must clarify a few things. Fox confirmed April 17th and 18th dates via text with me on March 17th. I contacted him on Facebook Messenger on Monday to go over his matches for Florida. He then informed me he had taken another booking on April 18th. Without getting into detail in the conversation, I treated Fox with the respect he deserved after everything we've been through together. He claimed that I cussed him. I said the F word once in the context of saying this is fucked up. Fox also claims I used all caps, implying I was yelling at him. The only word in capital is the word never in the context that we never canceled a booking on him. Gabe Sapolsky further said, I am very disappointed and sorry that our relationship has ended this way and wish the Fox the greatest of success." This really sucks for AR Fox fans, and it really sucks for Evolve fans. AR Fox has had some great, great matches in Evolve. I've seen an awesome match in Evolve from AR Fox live. I'm a big fan of AR Fox. It sucks for the fans. AR Fox will still have no trouble finding work anywhere because he's such an incredible talent. It's just sad. It's mostly sucks for Evolve and Gabe Sapolsky that one of the main guys, a guy who was pretty much who could main event any one of their shows if they needed him to, is now gone, and we will not see AR Fox in Evolve Wrestling or Dragon Gate USA or anything like that in the future following this point. But speaking of Evolve, specifically the show in Florida, they'll return to Florida next Saturday with Evolve 42 featuring a Dragon Gate USA Open the United Gate champions. The champions Caleb Connolly and Anthony Nese with SoCal Val will defend the titles against Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann, who used to be mortal enemies and now good friends in a street fight. We'll see Roderick Strong taking on Biff Busick. Both of these dudes have been tearing it up. PWG champion Roderick Strong, Biff Busick, just killing it on the indie scene nonstop for the past 2 years. We'll see Timothy Thatcher taking on TJ Perkins. There's no telling how this one can go. A first time ever match. This should kick ass if done right. Davey Richards versus Trevor Lee. And Andrew Everett in his return to Evolve. And we'll be taking on Ray Horace, who I think this might be Ray Horace's debut, if I'm not mistaken. Also on the card is All Ego, Ethan Page, taking on UK's own Martin Stone. And finally, let's get into some Pro Wrestling Guerrilla news. One of my favorite tournaments, an awesome tag team tournament, where I believe the stipulation, I'm not sure if it's the same this year as it has been other years, is that the champions are actually in the tournament. And so this makes for a very interesting scenarios and possible situations that can happen throughout the proceedings of the tournament, as the title can change hands multiple times given the scenarios and what might happen. It's PWG's 2015 DDT4. It takes place Friday, May 22nd, 2015 at the American Legion Post number 308. 7338 Canby Avenue in Reseda, California. The teams entered in the tournament are as follows. Team Tremendous of Dan Barry and Bill Carr, who I love, they're hilarious. They'll be making their PWG debut in the tournament. Fourth Gun, which is the team of Drew Gulak and Biff Busick. The Beaver Boys, John Silver and Alex Reynolds. the PWG Tag Team Champions, the world's cutest tag team, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. The Inner City Machine Guns of Ricochet and Rich Swann. The Monster Mafia of Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee. Love Gun, Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal. Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal are an awesome team. They gel together so well, and their finisher is sick. Of course, you would expect Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal to work so well. Anyone who's been a Motor City Machine Guns fan should surely know that. They would probably work great together, and they do. In a non-tournament match, Johnny Gargano will be taking on the fantastic guy who's taken the scene by storm in just a few months, the Speedball Mike Bailey. And also, for the PWG World title, the champion Roderick Strong will be taking on Brian Cage and Chris Hero in a triple threat match. This sounds like this event will be awesome. I love PWG. I can't wait to see this, but it sucks that it takes a long time for their DVDs to get to where they need to go. But PWG has some of the greatest shows, and they're always worth it checking out. I'm going to close this segment of talking about New Japan and indie wrestling with saying, if you have indie wrestling in your area anywhere, definitely go support it. Go check it out. It's fun. If you've been to a WWE show only before, indie wrestling is a completely different experience, especially if you catch a good one or if you catch a really, really bad one. It's a completely different experience, and you'll have a blast. So please support indie wrestling. That's it for that news. We're going to take one quick break, one last final quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the Rexplex. Stick around, everybody. I'd like to thank everyone who tunes in every week for the Rexplex. If you would like to hear more, keep listening on RantEMRadio.com. Also, make sure to listen to all of the great programs on RantEM Radio. You can follow the Rexplex on Twitter at the Rexplex and send all of your questions and comments to therexplex@gmail.com. Now, back to the program with your host, Rex Watson. Up, everybody. Welcome back to the Rexplex. Thank you for sticking around. I really appreciate everyone who listens to this show every week on RantEMRadio.com, also on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. We are on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on RantEM Radio, where you can go in the chat room, have a lot of fun. Or you can listen to it in other ways. But thanks for listening anyway. This is awesome. I'm still here with Lexi V.
Hi.
Are you still here?
Sure, halfway.
What's going on?
I'm reading about the whole food stamp thing that's been going on lately.
What's going on with it?
So there's this one lawmaker, I think it's in Missouri. Don't quote me on this. It's been in a few places, mostly in the South, that, like, cookies, chips, energy drinks, along with, like, food on cruises, steak and lobster.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I just think it's really stupid. Like, it's already hard enough being poor. Like, I'm not even on food stamps, and, like, I feel like I should be because I make such little money.
And you know what the fucked up part is?
What?
You work so hard.
I do. I work two jobs. I work between 12 and 15 hours a day. I usually only have about one day off a week. Two if I'm super lucky and just by pure luck. But even as someone who is, like, constantly living on a budget and, like, grocery shops, like, I know that if you budget properly for two people, like, for me and you, when I'd go grocery shopping, I would spend about, roughly about $80 to $90 on food per month. That's if I was buying, like, super cheap food like something that's just super easy, quick to make.
Yeah.
Like just basic necessities like bread and stuff like that, bread, milk, eggs, and like for two people it would be $89, and that would be like buying the like the cheapest thing possible, like buying like chicken non bulks or whatever. But I also know that if you buy like just over a pound of steak sirloin, it's roughly about $10, and it can serve up to it can seriously serve up to about four people. Or two, like whenever you and I cook steak, we usually buy one steak that's just over a pound. It costs me about $10, and we'll get a giant steak,
cut it in half,
and it serves two people. But you can also make it serve up to four people if you cook it in something like quesadillas or fajitas which means that equals out to only $5 to $2.50 per person, and that's it. But that's not allowed. And it's like, what if somebody was, like, nickel and diming everything else just because, like, they had this one thing that they wanted to do, like, for a birthday or something? It's like, you're not allowed to splurge a little bit now? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't even know what to say after that. I just think
I think it's just morally demeaning. It's like...
Oh, it's definitely morally demeaning, especially really needy families who are really just stuck in shitty situations.
And it's also been proven that, like, these things, like, don't
work. You can't live off minimum wage.
It's absolutely impossible to live off minimum wage, and that's what people don't understand. And I think that what's becoming really problematic in society is the fact that people don't understand that in societies you cannot function properly as a society as a whole if the community doesn't care about one another. From what I'm seeing, the United States is completely, like, basically trashing itself and giving up on its entire country because we as a society do not care about each other anymore. Like, we could give two shits less if the person next door to us doesn't have enough to eat. We'd be like, oh, well, that's your problem. You didn't work hard enough. You didn't make enough money, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's a typical American mindset.
But the problem is that there are all these rich people who have more than their means to do something, and they have zero willingness to even help people get to where they need to be to make basic necessities. Also, I just read this article recently about five companies that you want to work for. I'm just gonna use one as an example. Ben and Jerry's. You work at a Ben and Jerry's, you're starting out at $15 an hour. $15 an hour, and they are the second largest gourmet ice cream facilitator, if I believe, in the world. And you're making $15 an hour, and you know why they do that? Because they said...
Because they're hippies and...
No, this is why. They said because it makes more sense to us to have a bunch of people buying our ice cream than one rich man eating all of the ice cream.
Of course, that was Henry Ford's whole idea.
Exactly. That's why he made pages. So they could afford to buy the car. And it's the same thing that people don't understand. It's like...
But the rich people are the ones that are passing the laws, so they can give a fuck less.
Because they're fucking stupid.
So unless we have somebody in power that actually gives a shit about... that isn't going to happen because corporations have always run shit. Listen to some immortal technique. Corporations run everything. Corporations run the people who run the people who run the country who eventually affect the lives.
And in general, like, this individualistic idea that we have now is so new and it's failing miserably. And if you don't believe that, you're a fucking idiot. Look at minimum wage. Look at how many people are in poverty right now. Also, don't give me this bullshit that they're all on drugs and whatever, because there have been multiple states that have passed this law. They have come up that less than 1% of these people have been showing up with positive drug results, and it's been a complete waste of taxpayer money.
That pissed me off a lot when they did the whole...
And if you don't believe me, you can go read it in the New York Times.
Yeah, when they decided the whole drug test thing, that you needed the drug test to be on welfare... And then when they did all those drug tests, no one failed.
No one failed.
And I was like, you just wasted so much money.
Oh, yeah.
Based on assumptions. That's just
funny because, like, all these rich people, like, have these assumptions and they don't know. Can I please have a rich person, like, go out and do this? So, like, if you're making more than 100 grand a year, that's going to be my limit. If you're making more than 100 grand a year, I want you to do exactly what you're telling me to do. I want you to live this life and see what happens.
You're a 50-year-old rich white man sniffing coke off a hooker's ass. Meanwhile, at the same time, with your other hand, you're signing a bill to say, hey, let's make sure we drug test all the black people.
It's not even black people.
It's not even black. It's poor. It's poor. It's poor. It's a lot of old people.
It's a lot of elderly people. And that's what it's a common misconception because people are fucking idiots and don't know how to read and believe fucking Fox News. God damn it, if you're in the South, you're a fucking idiot and you need to learn to educate yourself and stop reading every bullshit that's posted. Thank you. Fuck your conservative notions. You need to grow the fuck up, realize what's going on in this world, and just stop being a two-faced bitch. Cunt.
Okay, that is Lexi V's... Talk about the rant. That is a rant. That is Lexi V's rant for this evening.
This is coming from someone who works really fucking hard for what she does.
You work two jobs. You busted your ass since the day I've met you. Brock Lesnar screaming out, Suplex City, bitch. Brock kept yelling, Suplex City, bitch. Apparently now has its own Rack City remix. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because I already saw people talking shit about this. I'm not sure if it was who it was on the group Facebook group page. But yeah, there's a Rack City remix of Brock Lesnar yelling Suplex City. So if you want to go peep that out, you can. Next week on Raw, there's going to be a Divas Battle Royal that will take place with the winner getting a Divas title shot at Extreme Rules. From what it looks like right now, the plans are for Naomi to win that. The following is what we have so far for the card for Extreme Rules that will take place in just a few weeks. It'll take place in Chicago, basically. I think it's the Allstate Arena. Well, this is what we have for the card so far as it takes shape. For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins will take on Randy Orton. For the Intercontinental title, Daniel Bryan, the champion, will be taking on Bad News Barrett. And John Cena will be taking on Rusev for the U.S. title. And there's likely to be some kind of stipulation added to this. Like I told you, I lost about a half an hour of audio. This has been a fun show. I just want to give a shout out to everyone at The Rant for having us on here. It's great being a part of the family. Everyone listening, let me just run down the schedule real quick for you so you know where you need to go and what you need to do. You can follow The Rant on Stitcher. You can find The Rant, all The Rant's programs on iTunes. You can listen with the TuneIn Radio app. Make sure you listen to all of these shows. They kick ass and they're great. You can listen to The Rant every Tuesday at 8 p.m. with AA and Tony C. Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays with Dave Megapowers and the Impact player Phil Rea. On Thursdays, this show, The Rexplex, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And immediately following this show, Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. On Saturdays, The Wrestling Call-In Show live at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show with Surfer at 5 p.m. Also joined by Jordan Cobb. Shouts out to Jordan Cobb. And on Monday, That Awful Podcast at 7. And Freaks and Fucking Geeks with my two homies, Rage and Lee at 11:15 p.m. As well as pre- and post-shows for every pay-per-view. I want to thank everyone for listening to the Rexplex. I want to thank you, Lexi V.
You're welcome.
Do you have anything to plug?
If you want, you can go at me on Facebook now. You can search me.
Well, let's. Everyone does shameless plugs. Let's do shameless plugs. Yeah. I want you to make sure this is a horrible ad.
This is awful.
Make sure you go to Wildcat on Facebook, fella. That was a horrible Irish accent.
Yep.
That was so bad. My horrible accent. Okay. Plug away, Lexi V.
You can go add me on Facebook. Lexi V, spelled L-E-X-I-V-I, because I couldn't just put V because Facebook sucks. You can also go follow me on Instagram at the Lexi V. Even though I know none of you are going to do it because none of you have ever done it yet, so it's cool. But, you know.
Follow me on Twitter at the Rexplex. Stay positive and love your life. Take care of yourselves and someone else. Roppongi Vice, baby. Roppongi Vice. Yo, shouts out to Rocky Romero. Good night. Thank you for listening. Everyone have a great night.
We live in a world where even kings have vices. Well, and we are the kings and we are your vice. You see, we're the true kings. The kings of the night. Kings of the lights.
Roppongi Vice! Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi.
Moretta and Romero ain't nothing. I'm Swift.
Four finger rings, it says Vice, man, the homeboy Mono and with Demon got a sight in. Roppongi streets is what we're repping. Chaos is the faction and here is the weapon. Beretta on your side, that's a joke. Beretta on my side, question mark dope. Roppongi nights, Roppongi lights. Kings don't sleep, so don't sleep on the Vice.
Roppongi. Roppongi, Roppongi Lights, Roppongi Vice, Roppongi, Roppongi, Roppongi Lights, Roppongi Vice, Roppongi, Roppongi, Roppongi Lights, Roppongi Vice, Roppongi, Roppongi.
Moretta and Romero ain't nothing, I'm Swift.
Dressed to the nines, eye patch wearing. Fur on the bandana, all the girlies be staring. New best friends.
Alright.
Shout out to Chuck E. T. Make it three amigos and just add me. Beretta and Romero. We going click clack, all you other juniors. You better step back, forever is forever. You best remember that when Trenti and Asuka walk away with them straps.
Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi.
Stays up real late. Drinking in hotels like weirdos, and then we go eat McGriddles from Japanese McDonald's super early in the morning.
Roppongi.
Roppongi, Roppongi Vice. Kozlov.
Roppongi Lights.
This is in Roppongi memory of you, Vice. Buddy.
Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi.
Moretta and Romero ain't nothing. I'm Swift.
Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi. Roppongi Lights. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi. Roppongi.
Moretta and Romero ain't nothing. I'm Swift.